where'd everybody go? Was it full when we started, Andy?
What'd you say last
time? Oh, we need to make our regular winter announcement that we got caught not making this week and or last week, because I wasn't looking for this. Maybe you were. But we will have a service here on Sunday morning, all right? And so that gets rid of all the put it on this announcing thing and all. But you be wise in whether you get out or not, all right? We will we'll plan to meet, and that way we don't have to. I looked at the deal on KY3, and there were 206 announcements, you know, of people canceling church, you know. And I thought, you get lost in those weeds in a hurry. So we'll just get rid of all that. We will have church, okay, on Sunday morning. And then if you can make it and it's safe to do so, you come. If not, be wise, okay? So we'll just set that aside. And then the next two Sundays, as Andy's already mentioned, we are different in that one's on Sunday, one's on New Year's, of course. And so we'll have the special service next Sunday morning. And you said, where'd Andy go? No Sunday school, all right? And then we'll have the Lord's Supper next Sunday morning, and we'll have a service here at that time. And then on New Year's Day, full schedule? Okay. Do you know they pay people hundreds of thousands of dollars to do what I'm doing right now? That's called planning and all that. We can do it here in about 5 minutes. How about that? Huh? All right. Other churches and all. So. All right. Well, to warm us up on a cold, cold December morning, we're going fishing again today. Okay? Or at least we're going to finish the fishing trip that we started last week as we move through the book of John. So turn over to John chapter 21. And if you were with us last week, there were 3 points to this teaching entitled, I'm Going Fishing. And we looked at the first two, and we're going to finish that third point this morning. So let's read in John chapter 21. We'll start with verse 1. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples. Now, Jesus has been raised from the grave. Okay? Resurrection Sunday has already occurred. And so this is at least 8 days after that, probably closer to 2 weeks, give or take. All right? So after this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, or the Sea of Galilee. And he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called a twin, Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, that'd be James and John, and two others who aren't named, were together. So there's 7 of the 11 that are at the Sea of Galilee. And Simon Peter, in verse 3, said to the other six, I'm going fishing. And they said to him, we'll go with you. And so they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. And just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples didn't know it was him. Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? And they answered him, no. And he said to them, cast your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved, which would be John, therefore said to Peter, it is the Lord. So we're going to look this morning. Last week we looked at these first 2 points, the lack of vision for the call, speaking from the disciples' perspective. They seem to have lost the vision for what they had been called. Then the loss of knowing it was the voice of Jesus, because the guy on the shore was Jesus and he told them where to fish and they didn't even recognize him or his voice while he's there. And this morning then we're going to look at the third point of that, the Lord revealed through his power. The Lord revealed himself through his power. So, to catch us all up to make sure we're at the right place together. John is closing out his account of the life and teachings of Jesus. He seems to do that in chapter 20, and then almost as a postscript or an afterthought, he remembered something else, it seems. All right, and so he records that in what we call chapter 21. And so we find this morning then in chapter 21, the number of disciples has changed, okay? Not all 11 are there, apparently. Maybe they are, they're just not mentioned. But John went to great trouble to mention the seven that were there. Five of them he names them. And they're at a different place. They're at the Sea of Galilee. And in John's record of the last weeks of Jesus' life, was all in Jerusalem. Now, Matthew would differ from that, but we touched on that last week. He told them to meet him, the angel, and Jesus told the two Marys who came to the tomb, tell my brothers, the disciples, to meet me in Galilee. Well, John seems to keep them in Jerusalem, all right? But all that said, on this day, they are back up north. And I kept saying 40 miles north of Jerusalem, and nobody corrected me all week. And that kept just kind of catching there. And then I looked at it. It's 70 miles. It's 70 miles. The 40 miles is the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. That's 40 miles north of Jerusalem. Well, the Sea of Galilee is on north of that. So that bothered me. Maybe didn't bother you, but I want to stand corrected on that this morning, okay? So they're 70 miles north of Jerusalem now at the Sea of Galilee. Sometime in that 40-day window from the resurrection to the ascension of Jesus. Okay? Some of you may get tired of all the background that I try to share, but I think that's important to have context. So it's real life then. You know, it's not just something made, it's real life, real people walking 70 miles to the Sea of Galilee gets in my mind. And it seems to help me, maybe it doesn't you. Okay, so that's where they are. Seven of the disciples are there instead of the 11. Don't know where the other four are. And as they're out there, now they've already been told by Jesus, as the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. So they have received a call from Jesus. Okay, he's sending them. Then he even breathes on them and says to them, receive the Holy Spirit. So they've been empowered. And also they have received the authority that he gave them so that they could forgive men their sins and they would be forgiven. So that's the context. That's already happened. And now they're back up north, and instead of taking the gospel to the ends of the earth, they're going fishing. And Peter brings it up. He said, I'm going fishing. And the other six said, we're going with you. Before we get too critical, as I mentioned last week of these guys, okay, I believe this is Jesus' plan. They're not ready to take the gospel to the ends of the earth, even with what Jesus has done. They will be in about 10 days after he leaves at Pentecost, when they are endued with power, and these people change. After Pentecost, after the Holy Spirit that Jesus promised comes and they are baptized in the Holy Spirit. Don't get weird about that, okay? It's just they didn't have anything to do with it. They didn't have to say anything, do anything. He did. They were. Then they are empowered to take the gospel to the ends of the world. And they do. But that's not happening here. So I believe what's going on here is a plan of Jesus, the Son of God, to reinforce the call that he has already given them to take the gospel to be sent as he was sent. All right, this is all background. We looked at this last week. I'm trying to hurry through this. So the seven go fishing. They fish all night, and fishing in that day was not spin, cast, reel, and that kind of thing, okay? It was nets, people in a boat standing up, casting nets out on the surface of the water, then drawing the nets in. And it all night, it's an arduous task. Steve, this is hard fishing. We were talking about fishing before the service. This is hard fishing. And so they work all night. They don't catch anything all night long. And so as they're finishing the day, the sun is coming up. There's a stranger standing on the shore, a stranger to them. A person that they have followed every day for 3 years, a person they've watched die, a person that they have seen raised to life on two occasions. They still don't recognize him, but the person on the shore, which is Jesus, asks them, children or boys or lads, have you caught any fish? And they said, no. I believe what's happening there is Jesus brought them to the end of themselves. Their life has just gone upside down. These people had left all that they had, all that they were, to follow Jesus. And it had been quite a ride. And they had seen the miraculous. They had seen dead people raised to life. And then, as they march with him into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, Hosanna, Hosanna is in the highest, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. 5 days later, he's dead, hanging on a cross. Now that's working on you. You know what it's like to make plans and to get ready for and all this kind of thing, and then doesn't happen. So to say the least, I think they're confused. And then the third day, they're hiding for fear they're going to be the next ones on the cross, and there he is in their midst. Their world is just spinning. So maybe they go back to fishing to find security. I don't know, the speculation. They haven't worked for 3 years. Maybe they need to, and they're professional fishermen for the most part, those that are named here. Maybe that's what they're doing. I don't know. They're confused, to say the least. Jesus is here, then he's gone, he's back, he's gone. So their world's just doing this. And so they're looking for security in the fishing, means of income, I don't know. But as they come in, they can't even catch fish. No fish. And they had done this professionally. No fish. And the guy on the shore, which we know is Jesus, they didn't. Did you catch any fish? No. And then he does what a lot of people will do, is give advice about fishing, okay? Cast your net on the right side of the boat. He knows they are ready to listen. They have fished all night and no fish. And then, as we mentioned last week, he gave them a guarantee. Cast your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. And in net fishing, if you find some, you catch some. It's not biting the hook. It's finding the fish and cast the net over them, drag them in. So Jesus guaranteed them that they would find some fish. That should have caught their attention, but it doesn't. But they do what he says. Because you see, when we're humble, when we are at the end of ourselves, when we have not been successful, we're willing to listen. Had they come in that night with a boatload of fish, and Jesus had given them this same command, they said, forget you, we got more fish than we can clean now. They didn't have any fish. He will bring you and I, folks, to that place of humility through the life circumstances that we have so that we will listen too. And that's what he's doing. So they obey him. They catch 153 big fish, no little, you know, fingerlings or something like that, which, you know, they often would catch, but they caught 153 big fish. And it's at this point then that they know that it's Jesus. Okay, so that brings us up to the third point, all right? Let's look then, the Lord reveals himself through his power. Now, let me set the stage for this. We'll get there, okay, but let me set the stage for this. Romans 8:28 in the English Standard Version, a passage that most of you have committed to memory, okay? In the English Standard Version, it reads, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. All right. These guys are in a life event, fishing. We live in our life events now. All different shapes, forms, degrees of whatever and all, okay? Jesus is Lord. He has already promised in His Word, His inspired, inerrant Word, that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. That's King James, I think, but anyway. That is a guarantee from God the Holy Spirit, for He inspired the Word. Jesus is Lord, and certainly He is Lord of His kingdom, which would be kingdom, His rule and reign over the lives of people. And when He establishes His rule and reign over your life, you are a disciple, a follower of Jesus. He does not rule and reign over the lives of those who are yet to believe. But He rules and reigns over the lives of those who have believed on His name. Disciples. Okay? So there were seven disciples in the boat, and there are several disciples in this room today. Followers of Jesus. So Jesus is Lord, and certainly He is Lord over those that are His. Now, He also, we know, works according to His will. He works according to His will, and His will is to conform sinners to His image. And the Father, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are in concert to take sinners and conform sinners to the image of Jesus Christ. That's what this whole thing's all about. All right? So, He is Lord. He is working according to His will. Now, there are other forces that are challenging His will. The world, the flesh, and the devil. As long as we live here, we can't get out of that. All right? So, we have the will of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and then we have the forces of the flesh, the world, and the devil fighting against that, Him doing His will. So call it spiritual warfare if you want to go there, okay? Thus, in the great arena of all this that's going on, and catch this, okay? The focus of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit is on His disciples. And He calls His disciples to go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Said another way, folks, maybe this will help us a little bit, it helped me. There's a whole lot of other folks out there at the Sea of Galilee fishing that night. I don't know how many. But that's why they live near the Sea of Galilee, because they fished. And you had to fish to eat. Or you had to fish to have fish to sell to live. There's a lot of other people out there that night. We don't know the name of one of those people, do we? We don't know if they caught any fish or they didn't catch any fish. Jesus, you see, is focused on seven men. And you think, well, that doesn't sound like Jesus. I thought Jesus was supposed to meet the needs of all people. Huh. No. Disciples. Now, these other people, then and now, if they believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, then He is Lord of their life, and it changes things totally for them. But for the person who is yet to believe, all that he or she has is a gospel to believe in. He is not about the affairs of the lives of those who are not His. Does that bother anybody? You can write to Nashville then. They'll take care of it for you, okay? That's what the Word says. The promises of the New Testament are two disciples. Those promises potentially can be to the person who is yet to believe, but they are not to that person until they do believe. Okay. Therefore, all things do not work together for good to those who have not yet believed, but they do for those who have believed. That's Romans 8:28 we looked at. So said another way, a lot of people out there fishing that night. Jesus' focus is on seven men in a boat coming ashore at the break of day. He's focused on those seven disciples. And he can do that, folks, because he's sovereign. And you see, in his sovereignty, he chooses whom he will focus on. And he has chosen to focus on those who are disciples, followers of Jesus, those who have believed and have been saved. Okay? Let me help us there, okay? I wouldn't be too quick to go out and make a bunch of promises to people who are not believers. And I'm not being whatever here. I'm just saying, you know, be careful there. You know, a person that you know has never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord, okay? I'd be not very quick to share with them the promises that are for disciples. Because they're not for them yet. They can be, but they're not yet. Now that rattles our whatever cages a little bit. I understand that. But Jesus' kingdom is his rule and reign over the lives of people, and we call those people disciples, and he's focused on seven disciples on this night. It's not that he doesn't love the world. Yes, he does. Okay? But they have not yet believed. All right. My point in that, and you may wonder what is your point in all that, okay, is that on this particular night, he has a mission through a life event for these seven men. That's what this is all about. All right. So, what happened? Jesus tells them where to fish. Right side of the boat, you'll find some. And they did. They had caught nothing all night. They had worked as hard as they could work. Because you just don't go out there and float around a little bit in that day. Because catching fish is eating. Catching fish is surviving. You catch fish. You need to catch fish. You must catch fish. Okay? And so they worked all night. They caught nothing. And by the way, Jesus will let us do what we do all night and all day and all week and all 50 years or whatever it is to bring us to a point in our lives when we will listen to him as well. Okay? Because as Lord of our lives, as the focus, as we have his focus. He works through our life events to show us that he is Lord, just like he was working through this life event to show these seven that he is Lord. You with me? It is not always going to be cotton candy and ice cream every day of our lives, every time we get up and start the day. Okay? Because from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit's perspective, okay, there is an itinerary for our lives. And he works through every life event that we are involved in, whether we're aware of it or not. And sometimes those are all-night-long fishing trips where we catch nothing, or whatever life event it is. Look for the Master in every life event. That's what separates us from those who have not believed. We have the attention, the focus, we're the priority of the God of this universe. That's what he is about. Conforming sinners to the image of his Son. All right. So the circumstances of their day, the life activity, was to catch some fish that night. They don't catch any fish. I think Jesus is well aware of that. I think he's even planned it. And through those circumstances, he brings those seven men to a place where they see him as Lord. That's what's going on. So they cast their net on the right side of the boat. As they were told, the net's filled with fish, big ones, 153. Jesus will use whatever he needs to always bring us back to that place that he is Lord right here in front of us. He will always do that if we're his. If we're his. You see, they responded to the voice of the Lord, but they didn't know it was the Lord. Now, there's a fair question that erupts at this time. How do we know when it's the voice of the Lord and not one of those voices from the world, the flesh, and the devil? There are a lot of voices out there. Now, how can we know that it's the Lord's voice? Let me help you with that this morning, okay? The disciples didn't know everything that we know now, or have all that we... They're laying the foundation, but they don't have all that we have now. And you can take this home with you if you want to. Am I moving around and you're wondering where I am? Is this playing hide-and-go-seek? Anybody? Raise your hand and say, I don't know where you turned off, but I didn't follow you. All right? Okay. How do you know it's the voice of the Lord? They didn't know it was the voice of the Lord, but they did what the Lord said. All right? Well, how do we know the voice of the Lord? We're going to take this forward about 2,000 years, okay? How do we know when it's the voice of the Lord? Anybody interested in that? Huh? Okay. All right. When those voices are coming, all right, they could be a stranger on the shore, they could be a demonic force, they could be the Holy Spirit himself speaking to us. All right, here's what we look for. First of all, circumstances. Every life activity is a circumstance. Okay? When you got up and came to church this morning, you were involved in a life circumstance. It's what you do. It's what goes on in your life on a daily basis. So when we're trying to determine if it's the voice of the Lord or not, consider the circumstances. There are no accidents in the kingdom, and he works through our life events the same as he worked through these seven individuals' life event of fishing. You see, our Lord is purposeful in all that goes on in his kingdom. And his rule and reign over our lives is that kingdom. So he is purposeful in what goes on in our lives. It's not just everything that is working, he is working to conform us to the image, his image, or from the Father's perspective, the image of his Son. In fact, he knows down to the number of hairs on your head. He is very circumstance-oriented. You think, well, how could he take care of that many people? It's not a problem, okay? It's not a problem. So, pay attention to the circumstances. Lord, what are you doing in this? What are you showing me here? I mean, ask him. Lord, I don't understand that. Show me what you're teaching me or telling me or what you're saying to me through this. Because if you're his follower, all of these circumstances are working together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. It's a finite set. All right, so circumstances. Think also agreement here. There's circumstances, and then there's another thing you have to look for, and that is the peace and the presence of the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit lives in you if you have believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus promised. He said, I'm going away. If I go away, I'll send another who is like me, and he will be in you. God the Holy Spirit. And God the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, he will guide you into all truth, and he will teach you all things, among many other things that he does. Jesus promised that he would do those two things. So we take the circumstances and look for the agreement of the peace and presence of the Holy Spirit, because if you have peace, that is an attribute of the Holy Spirit, and he is dealing in your life through the presence of that peace. Now did we turn off too fast? Okay? Okay, you're going through life, okay? Doing life, all right? And all of a sudden something happens. And you maybe have a decision to make, or and you just don't have any peace about that. You've been there? You know, just a troubled spirit or something like that, you call it. Stop. Put the brakes on. Don't go forward. Because you do not have the peace and the presence of the Holy Spirit in that circumstance. That agreement. You with me? Third part. How do you know it's the voice of the Lord? Third, the Word. The disciples did not have the Word as we have the Word. They had the literal Word of Jesus. But now we have the Word of God, the inspired, inerrant Word of God, preserved, inspired, anointed to us on a situation-by-situation basis. What does the Word say about this situation that we're looking at, this life event, this circumstance, that we will have peace or not have peace? What does the Word say about that? Look then for the agreement between the Word, the peace brought by the Holy Spirit, and the circumstances. When those are there, all in agreement, that's the voice of the Lord. That's the voice of the Lord. Changing jobs, okay? Maybe you need to change a job because you got fired. I don't know. That's a life circumstance, okay? You know, you've done everything you can do and you tried to please this, the boss and this kind of thing, but slam, bam, Monday morning, you're fired, okay? Oh, I'm fired! No. Lost person acts like that. But for the disciple, it's thank you. What do you mean, thank me? This is a life circumstance, okay? I know that the Lord is working through this on my behalf. Mr. Boss, I like you, okay? And you're just somebody that's being used for Him to reveal what He is going to teach me out of this life circumstance. You see how you can look at life so different then? I live where you live, though. Man, the world, the flesh, and the devil are sitting there saying, you're a bum. Can't even hold a job. You know, that kind of thing. Those are lies from the devil, the flesh, and the world. Don't believe the world, the flesh, and the devil, disciple. Believe the voice of the Lord. And this circumstance did not catch him by surprise. All things work together for the good. He put that in your life. He allowed that into your life. And you have a peace about it now because the Holy Spirit gave you peace. And you know what the Word says. I was young and now I'm old and I've never seen those who are the Lord's begging bread. You're not going to starve. He promised to give you food and clothes, didn't He? Therewith be content. Folks, we need to hear the voice of the Lord. We need to know where to cast the net. You see? And I believe that if you will apply this in your life, look for the agreement between the circumstances, the peace brought by the Holy Spirit, and the Word, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, or vice versa, one of the two, same deal, okay? Our path is lit. All right? We know where to walk. Then we can know that is the voice of the Lord. You apply that and can apply that to every life circumstance you're going to face, whatever it is. Guarantee it. Not because I guarantee it, because the Word guarantees it. Okay. So when circumstances come into your life, know that it came to Jesus before it came to you. All that happens in our life, He plans or permits. He planned this fishing trip for these seven guys, and He planned that they wouldn't catch a fish. You say, oh, come on. You read it. These are not doofuses out there floating around. These are people who know fishing. They were all called, at least Peter, James, and John, were called over in Luke 5. They were fish in the fishing business. They had the PJJ Fishing Company or something. I don't know what it was. They were good at it. How do you know they were good at it? They were still alive. They were feeding families. But they fished all night and didn't catch a thing. I believe that this was planned for these seven from Jesus so that they would see that their Lord lives and is taking care of them in every circumstance. Now, you can call me an old fogey or whatever you want to call me. I'm going to the grave believing that. Okay? The focused attention of the Master was His disciples. And He planned what went on in their life so that they would see Him as Lord and walk in His Lordship the rest of their days. Okay? All right, let's close this morning then, okay? How did they know it was Jesus? It tells us. How did they know it was Jesus? The beloved disciple, John, he refers him to that self several times, said, "It's the Lord." That's how they found out. Okay? So John is telling you it's the Lord. All right? John saw. Now, John had had a similar experience with this back in Luke chapter 5, another fishing trip, I believe, when they cast out the net and they brought in so big a catch of fish at Jesus' involvement again. And when they saw the fish, okay, they left everything, Peter, James, and John, who are partners in this fishing business. Luke 5 says they're partners, okay? They left everything and followed Jesus. I don't know if John remembered that. I don't know. How could he forget it? But something triggered in his mind. And John said, "It is the Lord." When he saw the power of the risen Christ, he saw, click, click, they came together, and he saw that it was the Lord. A life event used by the Master, even though they weren't looking for Jesus, he worked that in their life for his purpose. All right, so the revelation. They saw the guarantee fulfilled. We talked last week, Jesus is still about offering guarantees. The New Testament is filled with them. Promises that He has given to His disciples. The anointed scripture that Paul and John record and Peter and the writer of Hebrews and all, filled with promises. Filled with promises. He is still making guarantees. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. We read that over in John chapter 7. We looked at it, spent time with it. That's His promise. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Now that's not a birthday or Christmas wish list, okay? Like the little ones put together, maybe the big ones too, I don't know, okay? What do you want for Christmas, okay? That's not what that is. You see, you have to abide in Him. Abide, live in Him ongoingly, daily, moment by moment. He abides in you, and you abide in Him. And His Word abides in you. You have to know His Word before it can abide in you. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, then what you ask is going to be His will, and His will be done in your life. Got it? That takes prayer to a whole nother level. Because we don't ask for anything unless we know it's His will. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, John recorded that as well over in 1 John 5. The confidence we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if He hears us, then we know we have the petitions that we desire of Him. We don't ask for it if it's not in His will. Oh, you can ask for something that's not in His will, you know, knock yourself out. You'll be mumbling to yourself for days, weeks. You're not getting it because it's not according to His will. He didn't hear you. This one always parts the crowd and the water too, for that matter, okay? The Lord does not hear the prayer that's not in His will. First of all, He doesn't hear the prayer of lost people except the prayer of repentance. Why would He? He doesn't know them. Now, He can do whatever He wants to do because He's sovereign, but according to what His Word says, that if we ask anything according to His will, who's the we there? Who's John writing to in 1 John? Believers. Disciples. Now, there's a lot of people become prayer warriors when they're looking at a semi-truck at 60 miles an hour in their lane. You know? But prayer is such a high and exalted experience whereby we come to the God of this universe in the name of Jesus and ask according to His will. And then if we do ask according to His will, I mean specifically here, it's not, Lord, Your will be done, okay? I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. It's going to be. I mean, you're not telling Him anything new there because His will be done. But if you ask according to His will, the Word says He hears you. He hears you. Get it? And if He hears you, then you have, possessive, the petitions that you desired of Him. Now that is a good deal. And so, Billy Bob, down here on the front row, there's no Billy Bob, you can't see down here, okay? All right? Billy Bob's lost. Is it the Father's will that Billy Bob be saved? Okay, I believe that it is, all right? I believe it is. It's God's will that none perish but all come to repentance. I can pray knowing the will of God for Billy Bob. And so I pray for him to come to faith in Jesus Christ. How do I do that? First of all, the Scripture says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to those who are lost, whom the God of this world has blinded. Billy Bob's problem is he's blind. And the God of this world, who is Satan, the prince of the power of the air, has blinded him. He can't see. That's why lost people are walking around and they don't have a clue, you know. And you can walk up to them and share with them the most blessed promise of the Word, and they just look at you like, you know, they're blind. So the first thing we have to do is pray that he be unblinded. Father, unblind, bad language, good practice, Billy Bob. That's what happened to Paul. What fell from his eyes when he believed on the road to Damascus? Okay? He was blind. Then he got over there. And who was it? Ananias came and ministered to him. And the scales fell off his eyes and he could see. Okay? And then we pray that he be unblinded. And there's a reason in every lost person's life why they don't come to faith in Jesus Christ. It's called a stronghold. It's called a stronghold. The Scripture also says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So what we do in prayer is ask the Father to reveal to us the stronghold in His life. Now, that stronghold could be, it could be alcohol, it could be drugs, it could be science, it could be immorality. I don't know what it is, but there's something that's keeping him from coming to faith in Jesus. We will not know, sometimes we might, but typically we may not know that, but He can reveal it to us. And then in prayer and through prayer, we're praying for Billy Bob that stronghold be torn down. Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, not of the flesh, but mighty through God to the pulling down of that stronghold. And then, Lord, whatever You want me to do, whatever it takes for Billy Bob to come to faith in Jesus Christ, I'm willing to be in his life. Okay? And I want to tell you something. Billy Bob's going to come to faith. If you have a burden for Billy Bob, that burden didn't get there by you. He is on your heart because the God of this universe put him there. You're an intercessor then. All right. How do we get to that from the fishing trip? Huh? Fair question. I'll close with this. Wouldn't you like to see the fish before you throw the net? Huh? No? I would. The disciples didn't see the fish. Jesus did see the fish. Because he told them to throw the net over there where the fish are. There are no fish over there. You know? What's going on here? Wouldn't you like to see the fish before you throw the net? Folks, we can. It's called faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Jesus saw the fish. They couldn't see the fish because they were looking with temporal eyes. We can see the fish when we have eyes of faith. Where do we get the eyes of faith? From the Word. If the Word says it, then we can see it before it is there and have confidence that it is. Now, wouldn't that be a place to walk? You see, the disciples, in about, I don't know, some days plus 10 after Pentecost, that's how they're going to live. And that set the template for all disciples for the rest of the time that the Lord has for us to live. To see the fish before we throw the net. Jesus saw the fish, the disciples didn't. But there's coming a day in their lives when they would see the fish when they weren't there. I mean, after all, didn't Peter stand there and he saw Ananias and Sapphira struck dead and they were still alive? He said to the one that was second, whoever it was, the same guys that carried out, who was first? The husband's first, okay? And so he says to Sapphira, the same man who carried out your husband's dead body is coming after your dead body. How did he see that Sapphira was going to die too? Because he saw the fish before he cast the net. Now I can look in some of your eyes and, you know, a smaller group like this, you can see more eyes than usual. But I can see in some of your eyes you're saying, what? That's a Christmas message? This is the Christmas message brought to fruition. You see? The babe in a manger. Joanna's hooked on a song now, okay? And the song is, it's not about a babe in a manger. It's not about a Christmas tree. It's not about whatever else. It's about the cross. And the stranger on the shore who told the disciples to cast their net on the right side of the boat had already been to the cross. You see, the babe in a manger is really about the cross. Okay? With that said, it really comes down to this, through these life events. Do we want to be glorified by the life events of our life? Or do we want Him to be glorified as He works through the life events of our life? Let's pray. Lord, on a cold and wintry day, the sunshine of Your Word bursts forth. When we contemplate or maybe come into contact for the first time with the glorious radiance of Your risen Son, who really has given us a life in Him that supersedes all that the world knows. And so I pray this morning, Lord, as disciples, many of the people in these chairs this morning are disciples because they have believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and have said so. And they're living their lives as disciples. And we look so strange to the world. If a person walks in off the street today and would hear a teaching like this of the normal Christian life, they'd probably just scoff, throw up their hands and say, a bunch of idiots in that room. Guilty. Because I'm crazy about the way You do it, Lord. And I want to live the rest of my days described as a crazy person. Because to walk as You would bring us into these junctions with these life events and then how we respond, Father, it does look like somebody that's crazy to the world. But Lord, we're bought with a price. We're a peculiar people. And I pray, Father, that we would take from this day the truth of the fishing trip that's going to change the lives of these men ongoingly. The reason is because of what they said. It is the Lord. We love You, Father, and we thank You for today. Keep these precious people safe as they come and go. Give them wisdom. Lord, give them help as needed. In Jesus' name.